Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, the 9th of May, getting headed to June and the eventual collapse of the bond market.
Eventual collapse of the bond market, the lousy cable that John C. Dvorak is using for the his microphone. But it sounded okay for a while. Now it's a little scratchy.
Now it's scratchy.
No, now it's better. Don't move a thing.
It's kind of hard to do that. Well, it's one of those Amazon basics.
Yep, basically unusable. Barely. The Amazon barely usable. Well, John C. Dvorak, we have a lot of things coming up to talk about. And I thought we would change up the format ever so slightly. Because, because I was wounded when I heard that Adam Curry fell asleep each and every show right at the middle. So I thought what we'd do is we would...
No, it was near the end. It was near the end of the show.
Well, I thought we would tease up some of the things we're going to talk about today so that people stuck around.
You think that's going to put him out faster?
Possibly.
Okay. Well,
so here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to be talking about the update of the millennials versus the old codgers portfolio today. An update on the winner of the latest close to the pin competition, stock picks. We'll talk about some Bitcoin, four time leveraged ETFs, and so much more. There you go. Four time levered ETFs.
Oh my God. Yep. This is the beginning of the end.
Let's save that. Little teaser. Let's start off with what we usually do, talk about the markets. And we talked about last week that the crude oil continues to slide. Now it's down about 18% on the year for 2017. Inventories are continuing to swell, even after the supposed production cuts by OPEC, which keep on trying to come in and say, oh, we're going to extend and we're going to, you know, keep the oil down. The problem was that we know that as soon as oil hit 50, all these frackers came back online. So now they're trying once again to come in and talk about extending at least for 6 months.
You know, they're making a mistake. I think what they should do is let it settle in at 45.
Which it is now. Yes,
which is not a bad place. Could go lower, say 40, 45. Let the frackers all, you know, kind of sweat in their own juices to the point where they eventually all go out of business and then jack it up again. These guys are nuts to be trying to support these things because every time they get it over 50, the frackers come online and dump a bunch of crap on the market.
I don't understand the logic either. They kind of brought everybody to the brink but just didn't throw them over the cliff. Everybody was so close.
Well, they have their own way of doing things. Logic isn't normally included.
Well, they are obviously have to go another route because it worked for a little while. There was thought, oh, yeah, they're going to do these production cuts and all. But then inventory, what happened was reality didn't meet expectations. Expectations were they're going to have these production cuts. And then all of a sudden there's going to be this, you know, incredible drop off in the inventories, but this has never happened. And even with the production cuts, we're seeing gains. That's a big problem. Can you imagine if they were pumping it full bore?
No, it'd be a mess.
A mess. It'd be down in the 30s.
Too much of the inventory already.
Mm-hmm. So market seemed a little spooked after hours. I'm not quite sure if this is really what's taking down. It's not, when I say taking down, just a few points, 40 points or so on the Dow. Although some of that has to do with Disney's earnings after hours. But this whole incredible, fast, out of nowhere firing of FBI Director Comey. And did you read the letter that President Trump put out?
I probably. What was the one? What are you thinking about?
The one that he put out just about the firing letter, the termination letter.
Oh yeah.
It seems that FBI Director Comey found out about his being fired from a television broadcast.
Wouldn't surprise me.
And the letter, he said basically in the first paragraph, hey, by the way, it's come to my attention by this one and that one that, you know, blah, 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 and you have to be terminated. Second paragraph, even though you've told me on three separate occasions that basically I'm not under investigation anymore, we still have to abide by the fact that they want you fired.
What? I don't understand. You don't have to abide by anything.
I'm just saying he's, but for whatever reason, he needed to put that in the letter.
I don't know what his problem is. But this is seems to me to be another victory for Hillary.
Another victory for Hillary.
Yeah, she's blaming Comey for her loss of the election, and so she's doing what the Clintons do—they go after their enemies.
Ah, back to the secret burial grounds of all people that were against the Clintons.
The Clintons.
Well, let's see what else we have to talk about. A couple of things with markets that they in the beginning of the week, they seemed very happy, at least pacified, about the fact that the House passed the health care bill, the repeal and replace. And no Democrats voted for it. Won by, I think, about a 2-vote margin. Now it's on the Senate. It's in the Senate where it looks like it's going to be fully disassembled. But I thought the most fascinating thing was 2 points. One, when the all the congressmen gathered on the great lawn at the White House for the celebration.
Yeah, the ones that you after they're bussed over. Like they're in some convention or something. They're a bunch of Shriners.
Yeah. and then I thought it unbelievable where Paul Ryan was giving like an Academy Awards acceptance speech. I'd like to thank this person and that person and this person. Of course, Donald Trump for all of his support in this and the thank the Academy for it was crazy. These guys have gone off the deep end.
Yep.
Maybe they don't realize that it has to actually be passed by the Senate as well. Maybe they're not.
I know they were. I think it was taking a victory lap. They're spiking the football.
Yeah, that's what they did.
Yeah, but they didn't. There's nothing. It means nothing unless the Senate goes along with it.
Right. Like, how hard was this really to pass? When you know, if you just give
with it all Republicans, because they own the place.
Yep. The other thing
they
still
lost 20 Republicans.
They did, but they just eked it out at the last moment. Things swapped around and they won. And the other thing that's helping out markets right now is Macron won the French elections, and there was a bit of a sigh of relief there. He won by a very wide margin. The euro was supposed to jump on the win. This was the kind of this was the surprise that didn't happen. Every one of these things has this one, you know, these surprises. Well, it wasn't necessarily a surprise that he won. However, the euro is supposed to really spike and be all excited because now France is not at this point at risk of leaving the eurozone, the EU. And what happened? Of course, the euro dropped from 110 to 108.
Yeah, it's at 108.9. Yeah.
Expect the unexpected.
Well, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't, yeah. Well, it didn't skyrocket, that's for sure.
Yeah. And then the other thing in the markets, I think, is we need to really discuss is this the complacency, the incredible amount of just lack of concern about anything right now that can be seen very squarely with the VIX. Now, last week when we talked, it was below 11. This week, it hit 973 on Monday, which is the lowest in 20 years.
It's unbelievable to me.
Unbelievable. I put a chart up here. This you can find this on dhunplugged.com and all the show notes once we produce this right after the live. You can go check that out. Check out the little button that says VIX chart in the show notes. Now, look at this. I put this together. This is only back to 07. But I think it gives a good representation of what's going on with the VIX because, I mean, you see the spike, of course, from 07 to 08 and 09, hit about 60. Then it kind of came down pretty well. But it was this point in 07, right? And then it kind of flossed around a bit, but was clearly on a downtrend.
You look at the tops of these of the spikes, there's a clear downtrend.
Mm-hmm. And here we are bouncing on that level now, and I think the VIX closed at 996 today.
It's too low.
Well, not only
the last time it was down there was, as you show on this chart, was in 07, which was just before the whole situation collapsed.
Right.
This thing is a reverse indicator.
It is. I mean, when you see spikes, you should short it. When you see spikes on the upside, you should short it. Obviously, this is a monthly chart, so it's a little bit compressed and it's hard to see where the spikes are. You may have to live through a little bit of pain, but these kind of spikes to the 40s, the 30s, clearly 60 and 70, these are major moves. And right now, we've been seeing sub 15 for the last 6 months, but now when it got down to, like I said, 972, 973, we're closed, that was pretty low. And
so if somebody wanted to invest in this, what is your best bet? How do you do it?
The best way to do it is through options. Because
VIX options?
Yeah, it's the only way to really play it. We actually have a call on for clients right now. We have the, looking. I have it right here.
Where do the options appear?
On the Chicago Board of Options. You can find it anywhere. But you just look, the VIX options chain. And we have the June 21st 15s on right now, calls. Calls will do well if the VIX goes up.
Yes, that would be the idea.
But, it's been a pretty much a losing battle unless you hit it just
what did,
right.
What did you pay for those calls?
A dollar.
Dollar.
They're currently trading at about 85 cents.
Wow. But that's June.
That's June. That's not too far away. I try not to go out more than 1 to 2 months.
Is that your policy generally? Because if you went out further, you could leverage more, it seems to me.
You could, but it costs more money. This still isn't the cheap. Everybody's like, oh, because the VIX is low, it's cheap and all that. It's still not that cheap. But it costs you a dollar. I mean, we have to get to actually 16 to have a break even, but I don't think that's the case. That's
after 16, it becomes a multiplier.
Right, a tremendous multiplier. But this is also far off into the future. So any kind of movement on the VIX to the upside will also be levered extremely. So if the VIX gets to, let's say, 12, 13, this probably go up to maybe even $2. Mm. So you pay a buck for it, you make 100%.
Nice.
But it's difficult. It is difficult. One of the things that you got to stay away from is some of these ETFs. You could use them very short term, maybe even day trading, maybe some swing trading. But the ETFs don't work so well. They're just constant disasters.
Yeah.
Now, along with you,
What's the lowest the VIX has ever been historically?
I don't know what the lowest is. Maybe somebody in the chat room could help us out with this. But maybe, possibly it was, I think it was probably in the nines. Maybe it was in the eights. I think it was in the eights sometime back in like in the 40s.
Jeez, this is Derek's all time low.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's nothing out there. What's really interesting is, and I tweeted this morning, you can follow me at Andrew Horowitz, one word, or John C. Dvorak is over at The Real Dvorak over on Twitter. But one of the things that's really interesting is that the markets had every reason over the last several months to go down, whether you want to say, well, the Trump election or what's going on in China, the French election, you can kind of make a whole list of things that is a problematic that the market should have gone down for, but it didn't. None of the things that were supposedly going to take the markets down pushed the markets down. Now, there's no reason for the market to go down. We passed the French election. We got the healthcare thing at least rolling.
Right, it would have gone down by now if it was going
to
go down.
So there's no reason for the market to go down now. And I'm wondering, what are we going to see from here? Is this also going
to
be
I think it's going to continue to be buoyed up by the promise of tax reform.
Yep, the one page we got spells out some of that. But there's still going to be a big fight with this whole way of funding it. And maybe we'll just lever it up through debt. Through the deficit and maybe further bonds. But I don't think a lot of the Republicans are going to like that, in the Senate in particular. But along with your commentary.
Well, they can't. Those Republicans in the Senate are all in on the stock market. They all have stocks.
Of course.
I don't think they're.
It's one big rigged game. It's rigged. Speaking of rigs, your rig isn't working.
I'm sorry, what?
I said your rig wasn't working. I didn't. I gotta.
It went out again?
Just for a moment.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna go.
I guess you went. Goodbye.
Well, I'm.
I think you said that you're going to get a Happy Meal. Good. You're getting, how's that? Better? Hello? Oh, that's yeah, good. That sounds great.
Yeah, it sounds. What is that? Is it making a bunch of noise?
Yeah, well, you're obviously plugging it out. Oh.
I haven't done anything.
What do you mean you haven't done anything? It sounds like you're plugging in something.
No, I'm wiggling it in this. I am going to get another cable.
All right. In the meantime, I'll talk a little bit about the fact that Goldman Sachs CEO Blankfein agrees with you that low volatility. He said this today, actually. The CEO of Goldman Sachs said low volatility in markets is worrisome. Low volatility in markets is worrisome. I thought that was very interesting out of his mouth. One of the big things about why would Goldman Sachs come out with that? You know, is he concerned about the fact that markets are high? No, because they like volatility. The volatility is good for their business, means more trading. Without that volatility, without that movement of markets, traders don't do much. They just sit on their hands. So,
you sound better.
I'm sorry?
I sound better.
You sound better, yes.
Okay.
There you go. Don't touch anything. Don't breathe. What are you doing? Why are you doing that?
I didn't do anything.
Yeah. There's something. Let me just maybe. There's something wrong with your microphone.
No, it's not the microphone. It's this lash up.
Wow. Okay.
I'm going to change the volume. It's the bottom connector is what it is. I'm going to have to.
A lot of people in the chat room are saying that it's possibly all the junk you have around your desk that may be interfering.
Yeah, they like to say that, don't they? Chat room.
Yeah, papers everywhere, old tech products, ants.
Ants. No, there's no ants. I'm lucky.
Okay, good. Apple still going higher, hits an all-time high after earnings and after Warren Buffett's comments. Now it has a market cap of north of $800 billion.
$800 billion company shortly.
It's unbelievable. Snap's going to be posting their earnings for the first time as a public company tomorrow after the close. And I was wondering, what do you think? Think it's going to do well?
No.
Usually a company on their first public appearance for earnings.
You think they rig the numbers?
They push as much as they can into it. Mm. So I'm not really thinking anything terrible. But we'll see what happens with that. Now, there's some very interesting after-hours movers after earnings tonight. NVIDIA, you know, the chip company that makes chips for a variety of different devices as well as for autonomous driving, up 11%. EA Sports, up 8%. Trip, which is TripAdvisor, and that whole grouping, up 6.5%. Microchip, 5%. Nuon, which is the speech recognition software company, up 2.5%. Here's what I found fascinating and not surprising. Actually, I'm a little bit pissed off I don't have one of these because I. But anyway, Yelp down 28% after the close, after the earnings announcement was miserable. And your favorite and mine, Fossil, down 22%.
Yeah, that sounds right.
These companies, I know.
Why is Yelp down? They're losing their ability to sell these suckers into buying premium placement.
Well, they had that big problem with false Yelpers. Yelpersonians, whatever they call
themselves. That
hurt their reputation, and I think there's other options available. And companies are saying, you know what, forget this. They may be going to things like Uber Eats. They could maybe going to traditional advertising. Obviously, maybe they're going towards Facebook. They're done with this whole thing. I mean, the whole idea of having a public site that can rate you can be very difficult. How do you police it? So you have somebody who's just pissed off for no reason.
You know, it's policeable. They just refuse to do it.
How do you prove this? First of all, here's the problem with rating restaurants. I go into a restaurant and I sit down, and I was in a restaurant the other day. I sat down and the forks and knives I opened up, it was in one of those roll-ups in the, you know, napkin. And the forks and knives were like kind of chunks on them. It was disgusting. So I said, excuse me, can I have another set of silverware? Brings me another set of silverware. Now I'm like doubly inspecting it. And I'm like, ugh, that's gross. There's still junk on it. There's like something on it. It's not right. I said, would you mind if I had one more set? He brings me another set. It's still gross. I said, do me a favor. Can you bring me a glass of hot water? He brings me a glass of hot water.
Customer from hell.
Yeah, I stick my fork and knife in there, and I let it sit there and sterilize for a while, then clean it up myself. The rest of the table's looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, look, you could see this. It's disgusting. I don't do this often, but it was just disgusting. And So now I go on there, and let's say that, you know, what's the statistic that a customer with a bad experience is like 10 times more likely to leave a review than someone that has a good experience.
I'd say that's true.
So there I am. If I want to Yelp.
If you're a good Yelp user, and I consider myself one, I use it with that in mind. And you can read between the lines. I mean, every once in a while, my favorite thing is this woman who was a vegan, and she wrote up French Laundry, one of the great restaurants in the world, 1 star because it wasn't vegan.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
And then people have different taste buds. Oh, it was too spicy. I'd be like, I love spicy. But the problem is, and you look at, if you just simply go the short route, because people just look at headlines. So the restaurant has a 3-star for some reason. Maybe there was a bunch of people that got pissed off, and who knows the reasons. I'm just saying it could ruin your business fast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is a problem.
So it's a blessing and a curse at the same time as a, you know, benefits and disadvantages. And I think people are saying, you know what the hell do I need this for? It's nice that it's advertised and people could find me, but maybe I'll just do it in other ways that I can't get, you know, have this much transparency. Transparency is not always the best thing in the world because you don't know what it's transparent to. That's all I'm saying.
Well, they definitely took it in the shorts on their earnings.
Yep. And I guess we don't have to talk about Fossil. We know why they're losing, because no one's wearing watches.
Yes. They wear Apple watches, but that's only because they're Apple mavens and they want to show everyone, hey, look, I got an Apple watch. Mm-hmm. I spent too much money for a watch. Yep. Look at me.
Let's talk about this company. This could be, I don't know. We've got to talk about this. It could be the short of the century. Or it could be a great buy. I'm not quite sure about this. I don't know if you've been following this. Are you following this whole straight path communications thing that's going on?
No, not at all. No.
So they have they're a company that has Spectrum, chunk of Spectrum from whatever particular, let's see, they have the licenses from the 39 gigahertz, which is the 38.6 to 40 gigahertz band, and 28 gigahertz, the 27.5 to 28.35 gigahertz portion of a local multi-point distribution services. It holds licenses for fixed wireless spectrum and other parts of the LMDS band, whatever exactly that means.
It's very high frequency band. I don't know who uses it.
Well, that's the thing. Nobody's using it right now. But if they do, this is the 5G spectrum. So if a company gets ownership of this and for somehow can figure out how to configure the phones and the chips and all that other good stuff, now you got a super fast potential for phones to be operating at, I don't know the exact speed, but much faster than they're getting their internet speed today.
You can get pretty high speeds with this sort of bandwidth, with this sort of gigahertz spectrum. The problem is it's got zero penetration. Mm-hmm. It won't even go through a glass window as far as I can tell. And it has issues.
Well, here's what's going on. Let me give you the back door of the story here from here, okay? So it seems that the stock was at about $40 a couple of weeks ago. $40. Remember that number, okay? There's some bidders that come in. AT&T is one of the bidders. They came in on April 17th at $104. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'd say.
Then they upped it to $135. Because I guess the company wanted a little bit more money and all that, and they're chasing it. Then out of nowhere, a mysterious multinational bidder came in at a superior price. Now, I'm not saying the word mysterious is I'm putting in front, but the company is saying a multinational telecommunications company, who knows what that is, came in.
Yeah, you know, it's British Telecom.
Right, or it could be Verizon. Who knows who it is? But they came in with a better...
Verizon.
Stock jumped to 160.
Okay.
Then another mystery bidder came in, and it jumped to 184 because the board determined, this is from the company, the board determined that a revised offer from a multinational telecommunications company came in at 184 a share constitutes a superior proposal. Stock goes from 40 jumps to 104, 135, 160, 184. Now, somehow, this stock is at 227. Mm. 227. So I guess they have 9 employees. The company has 9 employees. Not making any money. Yeah. Okay? All the numbers are negative. So this company is like a $3.5 billion company now over the last couple of weeks. So I'm wondering,
Yes, but you know those telecom companies will drop $3 billion, $4 billion on something easy.
They may, but I'm wondering if now they have 3 days from Monday to finalize this offer. They got 3 days to finalize this $184 deal. Now, I can't imagine somebody coming in at, you know, coming in at so much higher out of nowhere. Now, there was a tremendous amount of short interest on the stock beforehand. They got obviously clobbered. And the short interest was, I don't know, it was like 6 million shares, something like that. There was like 22 days to cover. Now it's only down to 6 days to five, maybe 5 days to cover. So obviously the shorts got squeezed really good, really well. So I'm wondering, is this a short at this point? As a matter of fact, I personally, on a total, absolute red or black concept investment or bet, let's call it a bet, not an investment, okay? I bought some puts on this.
Okay.
At the 185 level. Bought them for $3.
You bought 185 puts?
Yep.
Well, that's kind of, why don't you buy something like a little further down the tube?
Because if they're going to accept the 184, I figure this thing could come up pretty good. If they accept the 184, the stock may trade down to 175.
Why don't you buy some 175 puts?
Because I didn't think it would go lower than that, and then I wouldn't collect.
Yeah.
I mean, if they got the 160 and then they came up and they got the 184, I figure if they get the 184 and it gets approved, then what's going to end up happening is that potentially what will happen is that it'll have to go through whatever kind of process they have to go through to get this deal done. And it may come down a bit until the actual date that it closes. So, and it's only, I bought it out for about a week and a half. So we'll see what happens with this. But I wonder.
Well, you're right. This is a gamble, not a investment.
Right. Oh yeah. No, I know that. That's no question about it. And that's why I said, sometimes you do that. Sometimes you have to see if you could do something. I just find it to be, just so overdone right now and just getting bit up out of nowhere. And some people are talking about it going to 400.
Joke's on you if it does.
Yeah, well, I'll just lose the money. So it's not a problem. Anyway, I'm going to put this on the game when we talk about that in a little while.
Okay.
Something else to consider about the S&P 500 and the markets itself. One of the things that we showed last year or actually it was 2 years ago, was that there was an interesting divergence that was taking place in markets where only a handful of stocks were actually holding up the whole market. And when we look at what's going on right now, the largest of the large caps are once again powering ahead. The Googles, the Microsofts, the Apples, and a lot of tech. Those names are really doing very well. And they're pulling up the entire market because the S&P 500 is a market capped weighted index, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So there's a chart that I put here, and I want to see it today. I said, you know, let me take a look at this, what's going on here. But look at what's happening with this chart. This is a comparison of year to date, the performance of the S&P 500 and the S&P 500 equal weighted index. And look what happened in middle of April, how the S&P 500 cap weighted, the normal S&P 500, shot ahead of the equal weighted, showing the outperformance of the largest stocks in the index. It was plain.
That's a lot. It's a big divergency.
Yeah. We're talking about divergency.
Yeah.
That's a word?
I think so.
Divergency. All right. Let's see. What are we talking about? About 1.3%? 1.4%? 3%. But that's a big change. That's a big divergency.
It is on this chart.
Mm-hmm. It's playing along pretty well through March.
No, it's playing along fine all the way. Actually, yeah, March. And then it started to diverge.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost came back together in the middle of April and then it popped out again.
Yep. So the large caps, so the largest of the large caps in the S&P 500, The weighting is so large that it's about a 50% weight of the overall performance. So the converse of this is true also, that there's a significant underperformance by the smaller companies and the rest of the 500. So about, I'm going to give you a number, 25 stocks are about 50% of the total cap of the S&P. So what's happening here is the other 475 stocks are not performing as well. They're doing fine. They're up 5% for the year on an equal weighted basis. But I would venture to say if you took out the largest of the large even out of here, you'd have even lower performance.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know what that means anything, but I will share with you that the last time this happened, it really wasn't.
Better bookkeepers.
Yeah, better bookkeepers.
Yeah, guys who can cook the books a little better.
Oh, yeah, they got to hire the guys, the big guys hire.
So you were saying the last time this happened, what?
The last time this happened, there was this outperformance for a while, but then what happened was that the large cap started to slow down and stop moving, and then everything kind of came down very dramatically, and we had a correction. Because the underpinnings, I look at it as a sinkhole. You know, a sinkhole, everything is fine on the top till all of a sudden the top cracks. Then cars fall in it.
Right.
Right. Everything looks fine. You don't know what's going on underneath. You know, everything seems fine. Then all of a sudden it opens up and boom, you get this kind of drop. So we'll see how that plays out. But I will share with you the last time.
So you're suggesting that these stocks that are in this top, overweighted by cap are the ones most susceptible to a downturn.
Either that or if they don't go up anymore, showing that significant outperformance, the index could have a problem.
Or maybe the bottom can catch up.
That's also possible. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it kind of did that. Well, it never really did that. It always did it on the downside, according to this chart, at least over the last year. Interesting. Another interesting anomaly that we only discuss here on DH Unplugged.
Gosh, it's unbelievable what people get from us at such a low price too. You know, it is our 360th show.
It's astonishing.
Any thoughts on what people could do to?
They could probably pony up some contributions if they get anything out of the show. That means if they get anything financial out of the show.
What if they get? What if they get a good
button on DH Unplugged? You can click.
There's multiple buttons. So easy too. It's so. Not only is it easy, I think people actually find it to be something that is life changing. Clicking that button is a life changing event.
Yeah.
So just go over to donate. Donate big with your heart, along with your wallet.
Either that, or you could have invested in Bitcoin on April 17th.
Oh yeah, that's unbelievable, huh? You see this chart? Bitcoin at a new high.
I don't
trust.
As far as I'm concerned, I don't care what these charts say.
What does that mean?
I'm not investing in Bitcoin ever.
Why?
Because it's not a substantive anything. I mean, the VIX has more substance than this thing.
It is amazing.
And it's just hollow.
This move. This move, we're talking about. From the beginning of April till now, we have a chart again on dhunplugged.com. It went from, 1,300?
1,200, 1,300, yeah.
To 1,740.
Just like that, boom.
And it keeps on going up. Now, the question is why? And there's a lot of reasons that I've been reading about. One of them is that Japan has now approved the use of Bitcoin for purchases. I don't know. Possibly okay. People trying to pull money out of China and doing it behind the scenes.
Well, it is one way to like anonymize your wealth and move it from here to there without getting caught.
But at the same time, this is supposed to be a currency, not an investment, right? I mean, I know that it could be both. I get that. But it seems to be a little bit bizarre that a currency would quadruple in 2 years. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. We make a big fuss when the dollar euro thing goes from $1.10 to $1.08.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure this thing will just keep going up because of the momentum and, you know, the craze about this thing. And by the way, Bitcoiners, whatever they call themselves, Bitcoin bugs, are
or the miners.
They're just as crazy as gold bugs.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Which is,
well, you know, right now they can tell you I told you so, yeah. And you can't say much about it.
Yeah. They're just as, I remember there was a time back in 2008, 2009, 2010, somewhere around there. I met a guy, I was up at my lake house, and he came over and he was talking about how great things were. He was, you know, he had silver and he had a ton of silver and it's his retirement and all of his retirement money basically is in silver. And I said, really? That doesn't mean it. That doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that? Well, look at silver. It's going to keep going up forever. Why would it keep going up forever? I said to him. Well, because, you know, markets are no good and the currency, you know, we need hard assets. And I said, you know what? His name is Dickie. Apropos, I said, Dickie, why don't you just take some of it and maybe sell it and maybe diversify or even leave it in cash for all I can care. Nope, not going to do it. Well, silver moved down from what, 40 down to like 80
at one point. What is it today? $9?
I don't know where silver's right about there. Somewhere about that. So
I don't have it on my lists. So, something like that.
Yeah, it's in there. But it dropped even lower. I mean, there was a guy lost everything.
Yeah, well, he didn't lose everything. He just lost 3/4 of his wealth.
Right. Probably never going to get it back. All he had to do was simple diversification. It's not so hard, folks. Don't have your old eggs in one basket. Yeah, you've heard all these, you know, old adages. All right, let's see here. Airline rage is at a boiling point. What is going on with this? Is this because everybody all of a sudden is looking for this? This whole airline?
I think that's exactly what it is.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. This has been always going on. I've heard a bunch of people. I've heard stories. I know friends of mine from years ago, they talk about, oh, hey, you so-and-so got thrown off the plane for making a fuss. You know, there's all this, and they never got in the news. But now every time something crops up, and people have those little camera phones, they post it. You can't do anything anymore. You get caught and get posted on the Twitter and the Facebook. And next thing you know, it's a news story because it's the easiest way to do news stories. You just look at Facebook and Twitter and say, hey, look, here's an interesting video. Somebody getting thrown off a plane. That's kind of interesting. Let's run a story. That's it. I'm sure of it.
Now we have a situation down here in Fort Lauderdale that I guess because all these, I guess the Spirit Airlines canceled all these flights for some reason. I don't know. Something was going on. And all of a sudden, these passengers started screaming at each other now and pushing and shoving and clashing with law enforcement officers and causing all sorts of a problem and big brawl.
Great.
Big brouhaha here Monday.
I definitely want to put that on the news. Fists flying.
Yep. Fisticuffs flying. Real quickly, I watched the movie The Founder. Have you seen this?
I have not seen it yet. It's on my list of things to see.
I thought it was good. Really showed, Ray Kroc as a real SOB.
Yeah, that's what everyone says.
You know, and kind of screwed the ending credit. You know, it's just a role. I won't tell you. Well, you know the end of the story, obviously, about McDonald's, but there's no surprises here. But one of the things was
the end of the credit role. My daughter saw it and she told me this. So to tell people what it is.
Basically that over the time and the McDonald's brothers didn't want to they weren't successful at franchising. This guy comes along, this slick, but downtrodden salesman, like kind of a tin cup kind of guy. And he comes along and he makes it all happen. And in the end, the McDonald's brothers, they didn't want to do things. They didn't want to change things. They didn't want to, you know, enhance stuff. And Ray Kroc just said, you know, screw this. And story goes on. Basically, during the negotiations to do a buyout of the whole deal, he says, I'll give you $1.5 million each or so. Plus, they agreed on 1% of the profits in perpetuity. However, he said, but I can't do that in a written contract. I have to do it on a handshake because of the investors and the banks and all, they just won't do it. So he reached an agreement, shook their hands, and never paid him a dime of the extra profits.
Of course, yeah. That was his final screw job. Apparently, he also started a little hamburger joint near the chain, right across the street with their names on it. And he screwed him out of that.
Yep. Put him out of business.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And he's the owner of the San Diego Padres.
He's dead.
He's dead. Which is a curse, would put a curse on the Padres. They've never won a World Series.
Oh, really?
And they never will. Unless they change their name to the San Diego Hamburgers. It's a possibility there.
Possibility. Let's talk about the Close to the Pin. I haven't heard actually from our winner here, but the Close to the Pin competition for Credit Suisse that just ended last week. We had a number of a pretty good list of people that played in the Close to the Pin competition this time, and the average price per entry across all of our listeners was $15.19. It closed on the day at $15.77. Pretty close. You were about 11% off. I was about 6.5% off. But we had a winner, and an interesting thing that happened that will help. We can help explain some of the rules of this. We had Christopher M. and Rick H. both at $15.79. But the winner was Christopher M. Congratulations. The only thing I have is congratulations there. Now, why did Christopher win and Rick H. didn't win? Why wasn't it a tie? Because the rules state that if you get your guess in first, the first one to actually guess the price is the one that actually wins.
The early bird.
Yep, the early bird catches the shirt.
Well, I'm glad they both at least hit it. That's kind of cool. Well, they didn't nail it. 15-19, nobody's on that. But
yeah, but they 15-7. He's 2 cents away. They were 2 cents away.
You get up here, the actual, the average, right. Oh, 2 cents, yeah, okay.
That's what pretty am I good. Looking at?
15.77. Yes, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I was looking at the average 15.19. Well, they caught the right direction. I was thinking that it wasn't going to, what am I going to do? I missed it by a mile.
We need another stock for the next one.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
Just do the VIX.
We can't just do the VIX. I can't do the VIX. I don't think I can do the VIX. I'll try to do the VIX. Give me a second idea if I can't do the VIX.
Let's see. Well, let's see. What areas are I was looking at here. Let's look at some insider trades and pick one of these stocks that these guys are bailing out. Here's an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
This is curious. Where the heck is this? I don't have it. It's not on this list anymore, but Larry Summers had a huge investment in Square, and he dumped it. And Square, I thought, well, that's probably actually, if it was me, I would have kept it. I think Square has got a lot of potential. And I think Square would be a good one to pick.
Square's good. That's co-CEO'd by Jack Dorsey. Founded by Jack Dorsey. It's the payment processor. All right, we'll try to do VIX or Square. We'll get on that. I wanted to give you an update. We haven't talked about this in a while. The old codgers versus the millennials.
Right.
Now, for a long time, it was neck and neck. You remember that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Codgers pulled ahead. And, you know, what happened was these are the old line stocks versus the new social media / technology stocks. I got to tell you, the old codgers are sucking wind. Take a look at this.
Well, give it time.
I've given some. We're about a year into this now. The gold codgers, since inception, are up 4.42%. The millennial thematic ETF up 17.93%.
Well, they're both up.
Oh, I see that. Which side that you're on?
I think that when the bond collapse happens, which will be this year, shortly, probably in the next few months, maybe not. I think the old codgers will pick it up.
So let me just paraphrase, okay? The bond collapse is going to happen this year. Maybe not.
It's going to happen this year, but maybe not.
Okay,
just wait. I would be actually shocked, I tell you, if it didn't happen this year.
All right.
And he'll be blamed on Trump, of course.
Of course, of course. Yeah. But he'll say it wasn't him. It was from the other guy. The last guy. Obama. Let's talk about some important things. Then we're going to get to this 4-time ETF thing. But I think there's a rodent cover-up going on. I don't know if you've been following this. This is, you know, back to the airlines once again. And I don't know if we would have heard about this if it wasn't for all the other things that are going on with the airlines. And United Airlines is right in the crossfire here. I'm sure that this is something you followed very carefully. Seems that there was a giant rabbit. I'm not sure what that exactly means, to be honest with you, but it seems that a giant rabbit was flown from London to Chicago, okay, and died.
Was it a rabbit or a hare?
I don't know.
Usually the big ones are hares, usually, but okay, go on.
They call it a giant rabbit.
Okay, well, maybe it's a giant rabbit.
And it was died after being flown from London to Chicago. But that's not that happens. It could happen, right? Things happen. People die on planes. It could happen. But seemingly, the problem came in that hours after the death of this rabbit, the airline decided to cremate it. Okay? So a Des Moines attorney, Guy Cook, who was representing an Iowa group that bought the Continental giant rabbit named Simon, okay, said his clients want details about Simon's death and an explanation of why he was cremated before a necropsy or post-mortem examination could be conducted. So kind of funny there. Something's not right.
So you think they stole the rabbit? This is a very rare rabbit. It's a very valuable rabbit. So they could have stolen it and then just, you know, cooked some, you know, random animal,
yep,
one of the pet dogs or something, and say that they cremated the rabbit.
Or they lost it. They could have lost it
and then phonied up a cremation. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody could have sat on it on the plane.
Well, was it in the hold or was it up in the cabin?
I have no idea where it was. They probably put it down in the hold and it froze to death. That's probably what happened. They put it in because you put it in the wrong area that's not temperature controlled. It gets awfully cold in some of the areas of the airplane, right?
Could be.
So they wanted to make sure that they didn't find out that this happened, so they cremated it. Who makes that decision? Yeah, no.
I don't know. The whole thing is wacky and they're going to lose money in some lawsuit.
Yeah. Just keep on bleeding that. Okay, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the four times ETF. So the Securities Exchange Commission, aka the SEC, last Tuesday.
This is starting to be reminiscent of the crash of 29 when the 10% margins were all in vogue.
Yep, this is like that because this is – everybody knows that the highly levered ETFs, which can be very good for short-term trading – are disastrous long term, and some of the ones are much worse than others. The VIX ETFs or the derivative based ETFs that are not based on a particular index, some of them are real problematic. Currencies can be a problem also, but the four time. I mean, we know we've seen this 100 times when we look at like UVIXI, where it's, you know, split adjusted is, you know, 14 million, and now it's at 9.
Yeah, right.
So the SEC in their infinite wisdom on Tuesday, I guess this is part of the less regulation part of the whole deregulation, approved the request to trade quadruple leveraged ETFs, making it first for a growing market of such products in the US. I don't know where it stops. Why don't they just go to 10 times? Why bother with four times? So it's a company called Force Shares. It's going to be four shares daily, four times U.S. market long, which is going to be under the symbol, which you got to love these symbols, UP, U-P. And four shares daily, four times U.S. market futures short fund. And the ticker for that will be DOWN. Makes it very easy, right?
Yeah.
One of the funds is designed to deliver 400% of the daily performance of the S&P 500 stock index, while the other one aims to do the inverse. That means that if a stock moves up or down by 2%, it could go up or down 8% for the day. So this would seem like an instant short to me.
That's what I'm thinking as you were telling this story. Sounds like a great short.
Yeah, you go long the S&P, you match it and pair trade it with a short on the long, or, you know, figure out how to short the short and short the S&P, or however you pair trade it. If you really want to get crazy, we'll see if there's going to be options on these. That would be fun.
Can you imagine? Now you're really up to leverage, but, you know, you must have like 20X or something.
Yeah, that's an instant heart attack.
Just, you know, as long as you don't spend too much, it's not going to kill you.
Yeah. I suppose. But we'll see what happens with these. They haven't come out yet, but when they do, it's going to be very interesting to watch. I am surely going to try to figure out a strategy on it. Before we go any further, what is John C. Dvorak writing for PC Magazine this week?
Yeah, I forgot again. It's about the driverless cars.
We only do this on Tuesday nights, by the way. Every Tuesday night.
It's about driverless cars. And what I've done is I've looked at, so there's a couple of things going on. One is a guy named John Adams out of London College or someplace in the UK. He made a point. I've been very tight on driverless cars. I know how they're going to destroy, you know, certain cities because they're going to lose the tax. The tax base is going to be screwed up. It's got all kinds of issues, but the people just want these driverless cars. But he brought something up which I've never thought of, and which is the fact that pedestrians and bicyclists are going to have such a right of way because the cars will be programmed not to even come near anybody. So a jaywalker or some slow moving bicycle can really screw up the mechanism of the driverless car because they can't get around them.
Well, and that would therefore be a total disaster for traffic.
Yes, exactly. So it's going to make things worse in that regard. And then I just kind of counterbalance that with the North Carolina law, which I passed the House, but it hasn't gone to their I guess it's their Senate, which says that if you're on the, because there's all these people, they do this in Oakland, they can march up the freeway ramp and then they stop traffic on the freeways. Apparently in North Carolina, if somebody's doing that, there are a bunch of people walking out onto the freeway, you can run them over and be and not be blamed.
Can we back up? Can we just back up? Why are people walking up the ramp onto the freeway?
To protest something.
There's no better place to protest than on the freeway?
They get in the news every time when they do this.
What's wrong with people?
I don't know. But whatever the case is in North Carolina, you'll be able to run them down and hell with them.
I'd vote for that. If people are stupid enough to go in the middle of a freeway and try to protest, they deserve to be mowed down.
Well, that's what's going to happen. So I kind of combine that. What happens with the driverless car in that situation where they'd be running people over? It's very funny. Anyway, it's a good column. You should read it.
All right. We shall. Real quickly, we had some leftovers. We talked about the vomit toxin, I think, last week a little bit. Kind of getting through that whole thing. I just like saying the word vomit toxin.
Yeah, you do.
I love it. Vomit toxin. Did we talk about Bose that is seemingly being able to, it's spying on listeners through their wireless headphones?
I find this hard to believe.
Well, I guess what they're really saying here is that their app that tracks the, you know, what are they spying on? It's not like they're spying on, oh, where is he going to dinner? It's what music they're playing or what podcast they're listening to. Or any audio. So, you know, they're going to be sued for this, that they can't track this stuff, which, I don't know. Bill Cosby saying that he's blind.
Oh, I didn't know he's blind.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What's he blind from?
He's confirmed in an interview that he's blind. He declined to address his ongoing legal battles. He's set to go to trial in June on sexual assault charges. Maybe he's just trying to get out of something. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to get the sympathy of the courts.
I don't know.
And finally, tuna giant Bumblebee is on the hook, wink, wink, for bilking customers. The company has agreed to plead guilty for its role in a conspiracy to fix the prices of cans and the thought of pouches, of tuna pouches. Cans are bad enough. Pouches are
disgusting. They went to the pouch thing, which is a...
something wrong. Not right.
It's a flexible packaging. There's actually a whole organization that's around pushing that, the flexible packaging. It's just as secure as a can.
Well, I'm sure the aluminum companies aren't thrilled about that.
No.
They're going to pay a $25 million criminal fine.
Wow. What did they do?
I guess they fixed the prices. Somehow they...
an extreme, it sounds like.
Exactly. It's a couple of cents a can, I suppose. Let's get to the stocks. Let's talk about the ideas that we have. And this is a game that we play each and every week. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any sort at all. It's just simply a game that we play, coming up with ideas on some stocks that may or may not go up or down. And we go short, we go long. We have a 10%, usually a 10% trailing stop that we use for this. But if not, we will disclose that, as well as the fact that if John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz Company clients own any of the securities, we will, in fact, note that for you. So let me, where's my list? Hey, I lost it. Okay, here it comes. A few things were booted off. Qualcomm, yeah. Gone. Kinder Morgan, gone.
Kinder Morgan's done.
Yep. My Tesla short was taken out.
Yeah, well, it's well-deserved. Mm. What happened to Tronc?
Tronc is in the trunk. Done. Got
At least I left it with a huge gain of 5.9.
5.9% in a matter of, you know, maybe a month. I'll take that. Keep doing that every month, buddy.
Well, you'd be fine if you could do that.
Yeah, you'll be a rock star. Campbell Soup is up. It's about a little bit. Trade Desk up 8.5%. What else we got? Still hanging on to Barclays. The other ones, like a lot of stuff just kind of up 2%. Some things down. Jack in the Box short is down 7%. AMC
Entertainment. My New Star Energy, which is
where is that?
Was into. Oh, yeah. It doesn't get. It's very. I think it can still happen.
Well, you got oil dropping off a cliff. I'm surprised this thing hasn't gone even worse.
Yeah, maybe.
Twilio, your buy. Oh, my buy. See, my buy on Twilio is down 5.8%. Cara Therapeutics up 5.5%. Nugget down 3%. That should be could be a good day for Nugget tomorrow. CSX Corporation, flat. AMD, flat. Actually, your short was doing a lot better and then started to come back up a little bit here.
Yeah, well, I think that's just the beginning of the end. I think that's just still a good bet.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. So I'm picking short straight path communications, STRP, for all the reasons I said earlier in the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that coming. I have one thing I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of funny. It's one of these holdings of Aris Management. And they're a director of this company, GST.
GST.
They bought a huge amount of it. And it's a lot of shares because it's only $1.36 a share. So it's a penny stock. And it's an exploration, oil and gas exploration. And it's been bouncing around but it's been a peculiar bounce around. And these guys buying so much, I think $35 million worth or something like that, indicates to me that they found something.
Ah.
I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They either found something or they're going to get bought. So I say it's for $1.36 a share.
Right.
It seems like a decent speculation. Mm-hmm. I'll put a 20% stop loss on it.
Okay. So we got insiders / buyout / 20%.
Yeah.
Okay, and by the way, I can't believe I'm bringing this up, but Carl Icahn, first of all, he lost his shirt on Hertz. He put a chunk of money in, and he lost $180 million recently on Hertz.
This guy seems to lose a lot. I mean, he's just shaking the dice constantly, but he also wins a lot, I guess.
Yeah, well, and he's about to have a problem because he's being investigated by Congress over insider trading on his tax credit deals.
Ah.
Not tax credit, it was energy... It was credits for what was it called here? Refining of the is an intermediary for the natural gas refining, I believe it was, and he convinced I guess Trump to kind of lift some of the rules, and it was better off for him.
No.
Yep.
Well, that should be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because according to Trump, he's one of his best friends.
Yeah, and you know why would he do such a thing? Because it's one of these, it's never enough.
Never, I agree. That's what it is.
Never enough. You know, you got to have more. You got to win. And that's the other thing that's really bothering me about the whole healthcare deal. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of people that just wanted to win at any price. They don't. And by the way, why the hell do we need such a massive tax break if unemployment's at 4.4%? Manufacturing is good. Corporate earnings are best ever. We have really low interest rates. What in the world do we need this massive tax break for? Not that I don't want to pay less taxes. That would be great. And why would we start hitting things like the 401k plan? It's just to win. Just so they could win. I like winning.
Yeah,
but
we might as well put Charlie Sheen in the office.
Yeah. Crazy. All right. We're going to end it about there. And I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds good.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.